older they get, though, the more serious the temper tantrums seem to be to us, don't they? I mean, when a 6-year-old is yelling, "I hate you," they like know what "I hate you" means. A 4-year-old, you're just not quite sure. And when a 17-year-old is yelling it at you, you know that you're in trouble, right? It's nothing more than a temper tantrum. And if you'll do these things and you'll keep deflecting the argument, regardless of whether you hate me or not, you still need to get out of your home. Any questions? They hear things. We're going to talk in number 6 session. We're going to talk about what difference other people and peer pressure and that kind of thing has on children. It only takes 4 days for a child to completely change their personality depending on their peer group. 4 days. 4 days. And they will completely change their dress, their attitude, the way that they speak to you, and their level of responsibility. It only takes 4 days. That also means it only takes 4 days to change that, however. You know, so it's not hopeless. But it plays a big part. It plays a big part. But if you're interacting with them as young adults, you can interact with them. If you're interacting with them as my kids, they're being warped by these jerks that they're going to school with. There's nothing you can do about that. You see? So you're going to keep them home and homeschool them. And, okay. I've thought about that. I'll just homeschool them and won't be around anybody for the rest of his life and hope they're not wonderful.
A wonderful hermit who can't interact with people socially.
The thing to continue asking yourself with teenagers is, who's in control? Who's in control? Are you in control? Are they in control? And they will continue spewing out all of these terrible things that you did to them, and you have to keep deflecting the argument. You have to keep deflecting. If you will do this, you will never match their anger. Because in order to say, nevertheless, regardless of that, you have to not take it personally. Now, why are teenagers like this? Do any of you remember what it's like to be a teenager? I promised myself I would never forget. It was the most horrendous experience of my life thus far. You wake up in the morning. You have to get up. You have to get dressed. You have to go to school. You have to look right. You have to dress right. You have to act right. You have to be with the right crowd. You have to be attractive. You have to fit in. You have to not fit in over here, and you have to fit in over here. And you have to decide which one you want to fit in with. You have to do the right thing. You have to say the right thing. You have to be the right thing. All day long, you've got teachers telling you what to do. All day long, you've got your peers telling you what to do. All day long, you've got everybody in the world telling you what to do. And then you come home, and you walk in the door. And what does your mother say?
How was school?
How was school? And what are you going to say to that? You're in total overload. You've either made it good today in school or not made it. You have to be good academically. You have to be good in gym. You have to look good in your gym shorts. You have to have the right clothes. You have to have the right books. You have to have the right pencil. You have to have the right purse. You have to have the right hair. How can you have any peace of mind with all of that going on? Yeah, your boobs are growing and your abs and your legs and they've got prettier and you've got... And you can't believe that children do not think about things like that. They're at a sexual point in their life. They're at a social point in their life. They're determining who they're going to be, what they're going to be, and what they want to be. And they don't even have enough information to make all those decisions. And then we say, well, you have to college. You have to do good in school in 10th grade because you have to go to college. And what do you want to be? You need to think about what you want to be. Who knows at 15, 16 years old what they want to be for the rest of their life? I don't even know. 37 years old, I don't even know. Why do you have to pick one thing? So then you come home and your mother wants to know about your day. What can you tell her, your mother, about your day? Who even wants to tell their mother? But you, I mean, you want to come in and what do you want to do? Go to sleep. You want to zone out for 30 minutes. You want to have no questions for 30 minutes. You don't want anybody even looking at you for 30 minutes. If you remember what it's like to be a teenager, you'll remember that feeling of just being told. You know, even maintaining yourself on the school bus coming home was just too much sometimes. If you look at how many fights happen going to school as opposed to how many fights coming home from school, which one do you think you're going to find the most fights on the school bus coming home from school? It is stressed out. Stressed out. And then we come home and our parents want all of this information. We can't give it to them. So, number one, don't say anything but, hi, honey, I love you. I'll see you later when your kids come home. They have to have 30 minutes. 30 minutes is all it takes. Some kids an hour, but 30 minutes to an hour to make. This is why you lock themselves in their room, turn on the TV. This is why you have teenagers who come home and plop down in front of the soap opera. What are you doing when you're watching a soap opera? Nothing. Nothing. What are you doing when you're watching MTV? Nothing. Your mind is totally occupied and you are resting. You are someplace else. Body is sitting in front of the TV. Nintendo. It takes a little concentration in Nintendo, though. Kids have to have 30 minutes to an hour when they're out of school. Enough. They don't want to come home and do their homework. They don't want to come home and cook dinner. They don't want to come home and do chores. If you try to make them do that, you're not going to win. They're not going to do it. They don't have it left in them. They don't have it to give. If you force them to do it, they'll do it, but it will be an upset. So your kids need a half hour or 45 minutes just to get home. When you come home from work, what do you want to do? Eat? Nothing. For a half hour, an hour, you want to do nothing. Right? I mean, you don't want to answer questions. You don't want to answer 100 questions. You don't want to fix dinner. You don't want to talk. You don't want to think. You don't want to do any of that. Children are no different, particularly young adults. They are no different. They don't want to, and they can't. And if you demand it of them, you're going to have a problem, because they can't. School lasts from the time they leave school to the time they get home. It's 8 hours. You work 8 hours. They work 8 hours. Any questions about that? So you have to have compassion for that. You have to have compassion that they just put in 8 very difficult hours. Now, it may have been an absolutely glorious day and everything went wonderful and your hair turned out right. Or it could be a really, really bad hair day. Children are cruel to each other, particularly teenagers who are in competition. You're not going to hear about that. They're not going to come home and say, "Mommy, did you know what she said? I was the worst teacher." They're not going to do that. They're going to walk in sulky and pouty, and they're going to try to figure it out themselves because they think they're supposed to. They tell each other, get on the phone for hours. I wouldn't even say, "Hi, honey." I would do this. See you in a half hour, bub. Love you. Yeah. Yep, because the pressure has built. There are pressure cookers. These people are little pressure cookers. You go to a high school, sit around and watch what happens. It's not fun. It's supposed to be the most exciting time of our lives. And that's where we define ourselves. And you have to have compassion for anybody who's going through that. They do. They are in crisis 24 hours a day. Young adults are in crisis 24 hours a day. Every little teeny tiny thing sets them over the edge. Now, as a parent, does that mean we have to go over the edge with them? No, what's our job? What's our job as a parent? To guide them? Listen. All you can do with teenagers is listen. When you've had it, that's all you can do for teenagers. Your son comes in, all you can say, "Ooh, boy." Cannot do a thing. Cannot solve teenagers' problems. You cannot do it. I mean, you can do it. You can sit down and you can figure out what the problem is, figure out what the solution is, but it's not going to help them. And that's the hardest part of having a teenager, is that most parents feel totally out of control, and that's why they feel totally out of control. If I tell my 4-year-old, "This is the problem and this is the solution," he'll go through the solution. If I tell my 17-year-old, "This is the problem, this is the solution, what you're going to do to me? Shoot me a bird. Stay out of my business. What do you know? You don't understand. You're an old fart." I never thought I'd ever be an old fart. But yet I remember calling my mother an old fart because she tried to solve my problems. You cannot solve their problems. All you can do is listen and not match their anger. If you try to solve their problems, that's it. The other thing that we expect as adults is that when teenagers or young adults ask us why, they really do want to know why. It's not like a 4-year-old asking why, and you can say, "Well, just because I said so." Just because I said so at some point is not going to work. You're going to have to explain why. Now, are they challenging your authority when they ask that? No, they're not. They're not challenging your authority when they ask why. They want to know why. Why, Mom? Why do we do this way? They are totally examining their entire life, and they really want to know why. How do you make that rational decision? How do you start at A and come out with C, Mom? They're not challenging your authority. All he had to say was what? Regardless of whether I said so last week, does that work? And you have spent your entire life asking why. If you get your questions answered as to why, you can start making logical choices and logical decisions. Now remember, this happens at 10. Some children 9. So you have to discern first what? Who am I speaking to? Am I speaking to a 4-year-old who just wants the wrong way and is going to go on and on like Rose McNeil does? Why? Or am I speaking to a young adult who's trying to figure out how this decision-making process works? They don't know how the decision-making process works. They're at a point between, Mommy's going to tell me what to do, and, well, I'm at school and I have all these decisions to make, and I'm not quite sure how to make these decisions. How does one come to making a decision and know that that decision is accurate? Some of us still struggle with that. How do we know our decisions are right? Because as teenagers, we were very used to being told what to do. Now, there are ground rules in a house, and the ground rules have to be followed. Why? Why do ground rules have to be followed in a home?
So we can know.
Right. So there's a point where I told you so is not going to work. Most people don't. When they move away from home. Because you have no certainty that your decisions are right or that you even have the capacity to make it. It starts early. It starts between 6 and 10. By 10, the decisions that they're making, you want them to know that their decisions are sound. So that when they enter this crisis, this 24-hour-a-day crisis for 3 or 4 years, they are of sound mind to make sound decisions. That's why I say you can't wait to wake up and find a teenager in your household. Because you'll be out of control and they'll be out of control and nobody will know what to do. Anytime that you're in a situation where you don't know which decision to make, you wind up not making a decision. You'll have somebody else overshadow your decision maker. You say, well, they made the decision, but it doesn't turn out. And that's a hard habit to break. 4-year-olds know how to make decisions. Their decisions are very limited, but they know how to make decisions. Do they know how to plan the rest of their life? No. Do they know how to guide themselves? No. But if you start with little teeny tiny decisions, do you want to do your homework now or do you want to do your homework before bed? Start with these little decisions. They'll start encouraging themselves to make the right decision. And they'll know how to put in correction when they've made the wrong decision. Correct. That didn't work. I fell asleep doing my homework. So that doesn't work. Okay, so now we know. And that's a natural part of the decision-making process. Everybody makes bad decisions. You can make a lot of bad decisions in your lifetime. Let's hope this is your biggest one. And trust themselves to make the right decision. So when they're out driving around and somebody's drunk and they're 15 years old, they know, get out of the car. Get out of the car. Call Mom. They'll only be mad for 5 minutes. They won't say, oh God, don't tell Mom, because they're going to make another bad decision. She's very upset for 5 minutes. And then she'll be off it. She'll come get me anyway and I'll be safe. That's a good decision. You had a question? You have to decide for yourself if they're asking really why or if they're asking for an argument. You know your child enough to know when they just want to start an argument or if they're really asking why. And you'll know by whether they listen to you or not. When you start explaining why, you'll know. Usually around six, you start explaining little things. And then as it goes along, you start explaining more things. You want to make sure you don't become a preacher. Well, honey, this is why we put the stove up to medium, because it boils the pot. And do you know that when the pot boils, the molecules all bounce together, and that's what heats it up? I've heard people who do this with their children. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You think that kid's listening to you? You're out of your mind. So you start by explaining a few things a day. When they ask why can't I go outside? You can't go outside because it's cold, and I don't want to go with you because I don't want to get cold. Well, why? You know, just like the end of the conversation. I've already explained to you why. Oh, all right. So you start with little explanations so that by the time they're teenagers, they feel safe to ask you why. What happens when you don't answer your kids' why questions is what? They stop asking questions. You do not want this. You want your child to come to you and say, Mommy, what is AIDS? They were talking at school today about AIDS. What is AIDS? as you blush and say, well, it has to do with sex. And we don't talk about that. Right?
No answer. Everybody goes pink on me here.
But would you have the same reaction if you said, Mommy, what's cancer?
No.
No. That's the point. That's the point. You need to start practicing now talking about sex. Thinking about how you're gonna encourage yourself to be a sexual being without asking it out.
And where you stand with all that with your spouse. Because if you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you're gonna be having a conversation. You have to be age appropriate. As their bodies start changing, you have to give them the information that they need.
Your young adults is to share your life, not with the last thing that children want to hear is your wisdom. Another piece of yours. When we get together with my mother, she has these little things that she always says. Remember what we call it. You might want a mother to find yourself saying one of these cute little sayings, and then she'll say, and that's one of mother's cute little sayings. And my mother will blush, you know, because she didn't realize that she had all these sayings. It's like 6 or 7 of them. And Michelle can recite every single one of them. You want to share with them your life, not your wisdom. So when a teenager, you have to be a place, if you're listening to your teenager, they're going to come to you with more and more and more problems, bigger and bigger problems, problems that you don't want to hear about. Problems about, I'm in love with my boyfriend, and I want to have sex at 12 years old, and I know that I really love him, and, you know, this is everybody's nightmare, right? This is every parent's nightmare. You have to be an open door where they can come do that, because if they don't have that conversation with you, who are they going to have it with? Their girlfriend. And what's their girlfriend going to say? I understand. I'm in love, too. Let's do it. 12 years old is just too old to be a virgin. Just too old. Let's just do it. Well, I heard on television that you have to use condoms, but I don't know how to do that. So what do you think? Should we? Shouldn't we? This is not a conversation you want your 12-year-old to go to their girlfriend with. You understand? You have to be an open door where they can come and talk to you. And the only way to do that is to listen, and never match their anger, and don't take their anger personally. What's going to... Yeah? Anything about it. A couple of years, that is a big decision to know, boy. Right? Because you won't make the decision. But Anne, you've made her decision, and you're now allowing her to make her own decision. So the thing you have to do when she throws those out, they will get more and more vicious as she goes through this process. You have to use nevertheless or regardless. Regardless of whether you think I'm listening to you or not, I'm still here. What the hell do you know? What do you know about love? Nevertheless, this is the issue. This is the decision you have to make. I'm sorry I can't make it for you. I'm sorry you find yourself in this situation. Regardless of that, what's the decision you have to make? What are your choices? And then you go through the whole problem solving. But you have to stay detached by using these two words, because it's going to get pretty hairy situation. So you have to be an open door. You have to be a safe place for them to come for information without getting lectured. What does that mean? That means that when they come to you for information, you have to give them age-appropriate information. Mommy, what's sex? At four years old, it's going to be a different conversation than Mommy, what's sex? At 9-year-old, which is going to be a totally different conversation than at 13-year-old. You understand? So you want to give them age-appropriate information. How do you know if it's age-appropriate? You give them a little piece of it. Just a little piece of it. Sex is something that two people who love each other do together. And it's a beautiful experience. Oh, okay. Off they go. That could be at 4 or at 9. If they keep asking questions, you keep answering the questions. When they stop asking questions, stop answering the questions. You don't want to sit a 9-year-old down and do the whole chart. You know, like our parents did, pear-shaped uterus, and you're sitting there going, God, all I asked was, what was sex? I don't know what the hell this has to do with sex. I don't understand. I don't even understand that M word, that menstruation. Who knows what the hell that is? I don't know. I didn't ask her about that. All I asked her about was sex. At some point, as a parent, you're going to switch from parent to counselor, which is where Anne is. Anne's daughter wants a counselor. You have to determine if you're detached enough to be that counselor or if you need to refer them to professional care. In Anne's case, her daughter has professional care. So you can just keep moving it back to who she chose to counsel her. Yeah, well, too bad. She made the decision. It was a good decision. Because it's too late to do anything. Any questions so far? So you need to be a safe place for them to come from for information. And try to remember what it's like to be a teenager and share your life. If your mother would have said, honey, when I was in that situation,
This is what happened. How would you have felt with your mother at the end of the conversation? Much closer.